Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. I'm your host, Garrett, joined this week by somebody.
Wow. By me and only me this week.
That's correct. I know that we usually have a pretty much don't drink on the show, especially when Brad's here because he hates it. But we're having a beer, so you'll just have to get over it.
Hashtag deal with it.
Get over it. Wait, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. I've actually kind of finally gotten into the real world. Well, how to say that? Got into the Twitter world.
Yeah?
As some people might notice if you keep up on our Twitter. Yeah, I realize I should have done this a lot earlier because you just follow the things that you want to follow. In terms of my case, the gaming news and things that you're interested in. And everything you need to read, all the news is right there in front of me. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it can be a great tool, and it's a good tool to reach out to everybody. And we encourage our listeners to reach out to us at Abundance Not. We are now 216 followers strong. I realize that's not a huge number, but to us, that's we're pretty happy with it.
My personal one is 5. Oh, yeah.
Not bad for three
Breaking
days.
Breaking the mold. Nah.
But yeah, Twitter can be a good tool. It can also be filled with a lot of spam, just like Facebook is these days. But it can be a good tool. So, there's that. What else?
Interesting week, but that's more for what the topic is.
Okay.
And, well, we had a little bit of a concert, didn't we? What was it, yeah, anyone
you
like?
You were present for that, weren't you?
Yeah, I actually got off early enough to do so.
So, yeah, the weekend, I'll backtrack further first, but then we'll get to that since that was on the end cusp of the weekend. I've been talking about the drone here now for a couple of weeks, and Saturday a lot of my parts came. Not everything. It's still not airborne. Hoping for this weekend. Maybe we'll do a video on it. We'll see.
I'm waiting for you just to get that thing ready and have it fall into a lake.
That is not positive thinking, and I really don't want to
have to deal with that
negativity. I will not fly near a lake for a while. How's that sound?
Or just smash into the wall.
See, it's that negativeness of why we can't have good things.
I've learned never to be an optimist in life.
Yeah, well, that's your problem.
Always expect the bad and you'll never be disappointed.
Doesn't mean you can't have hope for good things, though. Mm. So parts came on Saturday and I was working on the drone and had all kinds of issues soldering and whatnot. And went online to the trusty YouTube world for some tips. Got them, worked on the drone at about 10, 11 o'clock on Saturday, plugged in one of the components and fried it. Only to find out that I had reversed the polarity and went positive to negative, and that's
wonderful.
Clearly a no-no. Luckily, the local hobby shop had some replacement parts. I was able to go get those on Sunday and worked on the drone Sunday. And at this moment, it is waiting for the flight controller, which is essentially the brain of the operation. And then hopefully I can get that programmed and airborne. Saturday, we did some running around, but we found the local RC... club range, I suppose you could say.
And this is the Airborne RC Club, by the way.
Yes. So it's all planes and helicopters, and we went over there and hung out there for about half an hour. It was bloody hot. Not awesome. but learned some things from nice guys. Good tips. Very encouraging, but also sinking a lot of money into their hobby.
Oh, God. Jeez.
Not that I haven't. I've probably put about $1,000 into my
project.
Well,
these guys have probably put like $5,000+.
We got some expensive toys, and it can be expensive, and it can be cheap, too, if you make your own stuff. There's a lot of plans out there to do that. Let's see. Sunday, kept it pretty quiet until Sunday evening. Local city was doing a free concert in the park, and it was a Fleetwood Mac cover band by the name of Belladonna. So we went up there, watched that, and enjoyed a free little music session. There's another one this Sunday, which should be entertaining, an 80s throwback band, so... Well, at least I will be checking that out. I don't know if you'll be home in time.
I have to check my work schedule.
So at least one of us will be there. So that's cool. Anything else we need to add?
Didn't see any movies.
No. Movies have been pretty crummy for us, at least. And we'll get into that here in a second. Brad is not available this week. He's pretty tied up. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we can do a collective show. For those that don't know, Brad always phones in for the podcast. Hopefully next week he'll be in the studio and we can do a three-way live deal. So that's exciting and entertaining. And we'll see if it comes together. But until then, we'll jump over to the movies. We got three real movies to talk about this week. First one is Hitman Agent 47. Now, I had high hopes for this, the trailer. I was curious. I enjoyed the first Hitman movie with Timothy Oliphant, who people may know from the Justified TV show. Unfortunately, the critics are not giving me high hopes for this one.
This is based off the Hitman games.
This is.
No one caught it, by the way.
Correct.
The Hitman Agent 47 movie is based off the games. There.
You felt you had to be redundant with that, huh?
Well, I'd had to clarify for people who don't know.
Well, you said it was part of a video game series and you, like, repeated yourself.
I then had to specify which certain movie was.
I just said the movie title.
But you didn't say 47.
Yes, I did.
Ah, then I must have missed it. Sorry.
So the critics not loving this, 6%. Just 6. That number between 5 and 7.
Fantastic Four, anyone?
I think it got worse ratings than Fantastic Four.
Damn, that's surprising.
It is rated R, starring Rupert Friend and Zachary Quinto. For those who think that sounds familiar, it should. He plays Spock in the Star Trek series out right now and was also in the Heroes TV series. Agent 47 centers on an elite assassin who is genetically engineered from conception to be the perfect killing machine and is known only by the last two digits on the barcode tattooed on the back of his neck. He is the culmination of decades of research and 46 earlier agent clones, endowing him with the unprecedented strength, speed, stamina, and intelligence. His latest target is a mega corporation that plans to unlock the secret of Agent 47's past to create an army of killers whose powers surpass even those of his own. Teaming up with a young woman who may hold the secret to overcoming their powerful and clandestine enemy, 47 confronts stunning revelations about his own origins and, I don't know here. I don't know what I wrote.
Wonderful.
I'm going to go with ventures off in an epic battle with his deadliest foes. My hand must have slipped on the keyboard when I was typing.
Sure.
Yeah. Number two, more down your alley, equally not impressive from the critics, Sinister 2 rated a whopping 10%.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen Sinister 1. God.
Rated R, the sequel of 2012 sleeper hit horror movie. In the aftermath of the shocking events in Sinister, a protective mother and her 9-year-old twin sons find themselves in a rural house marked for death. I mean, short to the point, like you like. But
I think this was the first, the one where it was like a demon that was in like pictures and movies. And when you like.
Way to spoil it for everybody.
Well, this was the first one. It's, I think I remember it was in that he was released when you play the movie. So, and he, you know, obviously ramp up and as he gains strength back coming into the real world. But whatever.
Okay. Number three, American Ultra, rated 44%. We're moving up, but still not awesome. Rated R, a fast-paced action comedy about Mike, a seemingly hapless and unmotivated stoner whose small-town life with his live-in girlfriend Phoebe is suddenly turned upside down. Unbeknownst to him, Mike is actually a highly trained lethal sleeper agent. In the blink of an eye, as his secret past comes back to haunt him, Mike is thrust into the middle of a deadly government operation and is forced to summon his inner action hero in order to survive. This is starring Jesse Eisenberg, Kristen Stewart, Bill Pullman, and John Leguizamo, a.k.a. Sid from the Ice Age movies. Hmm. And in the box office this week, we have Straight Outta Compton, pulling in $60.2 million. Mission Impossible pulls in an additional $17.2 million. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. pulls in $13.4 million. And Fantastic Four pulls in $8.2
million. I hear straight out of Compton is supposed to be really good.
I got pretty good reviews. I'm not sure, you know, if it lives up, but definitely it's got some traction because it's about Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and a few other people
then.
of that you know, culture coming up from the hood into stardom and fame. That's really what it's about.
And then working on a detective series.
No.
Ice Cube? Wasn't he the one who does that Law and Order SVU?
No.
Or Law and Order Special Victims? Yeah.
Oh, that is Ice Cube. I'm LL Cool J.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
LL Cool J.
I don't watch it that much. Sorry.
Yeah, you're right, because it's Ice and Coco. So, yeah. Straight Outta Compton's doing pretty well. However, that's it for movies. Again, we did not go see anything, because honestly, there's not much worth seeing. And once again, this week, there's not much worth seeing. So, you know, on hold till next time. And into the news. Oops. Yeah, you.
Okay.
Go for it.
Wow, we were not planning for this.
Well, you knew what I was bringing to the table. So
well, I didn't know who you was. So, shush.
Genius.
Coming in, the most biggest news for Gamergate was the SPJ, AirPlay. SPJ stands for the Society for Professional Journalists. This happened on August 15th, and everything was going smoothly throughout the first panel, which led to surprising revelations from the pro-Gamergate and anti-Gamergate. Well, really wasn't an anti-Gamergate side, because no one from the anti-Gamergate side showed up, and was more the pro-Gamergate side actually having their say in what was going on. I mean, it was quite amazing, and shedded a lot of light on what Gamergate is trying to do. However, at the end, on the second panel, a bomb threat, a very specific bomb threat, saying that it was going to go off in the building at 2:45 p.m.
Okay.
We then later hear that it is not just one bomb threat, but 10 separate bomb threats. This coming, and I believe I can safely say this, from the anti-Gamergate side, not the one that was the panel. Those guys were cool. They were, you know, good. But the ones that didn't show up and called in a bomb, 10 bomb threats. And then I say this is kind of a backwards thing when the anti-side says that the Gamergate and gamers are the violent ones.
Yeah.
They were here. Gamergate was sitting there having a peaceful discussion about ethics and journalism, and the other side is calling in bomb threats.
Well, let's be mindful here. You don't know who's calling in bomb threats. It's an individual.
The other side has a history of this.
Okay, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's them. You jump into conclusions. All that you know is there was a peaceful conversation with one side of this debate situation, the other side didn't show up, and then bomb threats were made. This could be 15-year-old kids who have nothing to do with it, who think, oh, well, this group calls in bomb threats, so I'll do that. That'll be funny. You have no idea who's doing it. You can speculate, and that's all that you're doing, until someone claims that they did do it.
There was also a claim of a shooting. Someone was going to come in with their
okay.
Rifle.
Again, you don't know who's making those threats, though.
That was on Twitter. That was actually had a name tied to it.
But do you know if they're directly affiliated with one group or another?
I did not see who it was, but I was saying it seems par for the course that they did have a the other side has a record for using these methods.
Okay, but that's like saying car speed. So if you're driving a car, you must speed. It's a very general statement with no basis. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
But
that's all my point is. Yeah, one group has a history of doing something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that because that same action was done this time that it was the same people or group responsible.
It's was to maybe, the front to the same people both times, and it's not happened to the same group. Yes, I am generalizing, but with the history, I can give an educated guess.
Okay, is that your educated guess?
It is my educated guess.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to put a situation at rest when not all the parties are coming together to be willing to put it to rest.
I mean, some amazing people were there. Oliver Campbell, I'm sorry, and he's a prolific figure in Gamergate. I just don't know what his normal job is. Christina Hoff Sommers, the conceptual feminist.
What's a conceptual feminist? Or
conceptual feminist. I'm not sure what that means. It's how she bills herself. She works for the American Education Institute. Milo Yiannopoulos, is it correct to say gay man? Or how do you say that?
A gay male.
Gay male. Okay. A very fabulous, flamboyant, awesome guy, by the way. Who was the associate editor for Breitbart and new site. Christina Hoff Sommers, who is YouTube channel and men's rights activist. She does the YouTube channel Girl Writes What? And she is part of the Honey Badger Brigade, a men's rights group.
Okay.
So there were a lot of prolific figures there. And this was an amazing stream. SPJ, the society, were very shocked to hear that this was the first in several months. I'm talking about eight, that this was the first fair shake that Gamergate was getting.
So Gamergate is the group that's advocating for what? I keep
ethics in video game journalism.
Okay, so they're not advocating for women's equal representation, any of that. They just want people that are in the media who are covering video games to do it honestly.
Yeah, they're saying that it's not ethical for there was one of the incidents that one of the journalists was promoting another person. Well, then was found out that that person was the roommate of the journalist.
Okay.
And then
a roommate, so they lived together full time?
Yes, and it wasn't disclosed that.
Not like together like relationship, but they were roommates.
Yes.
It wasn't like they were at a hotel for a weekend. It was that they lived
together, but not romantically.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Fine. We're on the same page then.
But that relationship was not disclosed until Gamergate got involved.
Okay.
And that's just one incident over hundreds of just these backdoor promotions that's going on.
I guess I wonder why it's being isolated to gaming when, I mean, this is a general media situation, not just a gaming situation.
Mm.
You know, any general media, you shouldn't be promoting somebody that you have personal ties to. I mean, everyone does it. Let's not, you know, beat around the bush. Everyone in the media industry does it because they want people who they know or have a vested interest in to do well.
But it wasn't. But
those it's truly a media in general issue, not just a gaming.
From what I've heard, that wasn't issue. Roommate relationships. Those weren't. I guess have sexual relationships and tenant and landlord relationships.
Okay.
Without them being disclosed. and saying that, oh, yeah, these games are good when they're not. And it's telling people to go spend money on that, something that's not, you know, good. These people who work with games that are costing $60 plus for the standard issue on console and PC, you know, people want to be, what's the word, informed correctly before this going, before making a purchase. And when they find out that the games journalist that they trusted isn't being ethical, they had a major problem with it. And it was what happened and occurred with Gamergate.
Okay.
And some people will say that it was, there's a whole other issue. I am not going to bring that up because it's only going to cause major problems. But going back into the thing, this was the worst thing that could have happened for the other side. Now, I'm not, let's say again, I'm not sure it was the other side that did this, but it was the worst thing that could have happened for them.
Well, since they weren't there, it sounds like, to be a part of the discussion, just them not being there looks very bad on them.
Well, I mean,
and then having the threats tie into it, given the previous history of that, whether they're a part of that or not, definitely is not awesome for
them. This came down to that the last one, there was a very specific bomb threat. It said that it was going to go off at 2:45. A policewoman entered the room halfway during, or 30 minutes before the panel ended, and said that this place needed to be evacuated. And people stood in Miami, Florida, in 96 degree heat, and then continued the debate, the discussion.
Okay.
In 96 degree heat. That is some dedication. And one unnamed journalist or reporter remarked on that, says, normally people would just go home and go on about their lives. They continued to the threat of their lives to do this.
And what did it accomplish?
Well, this accomplished a great many things. With the bomb threat, this solidified the accusations and galvanized the relationship between Gamergate and SBJ. So, you know, if this didn't happen, you know, it would have gone smoothly and SBJ would have been, okay, so we'll look at it. Now it's like, okay, we're getting in on this because this is a major issue. Threats are being kind of coming against this. And I have put two different streams on, or two different, places where you can find the streams. One of them being the Society themselves. And Sargon of Akkad, he is a known, prolific member in Gamergate and a critic of feminism. He got a lot of the what was going on after people were evacuated, and also have Milo's post on Breitbart.com of what he couldn't say because of the threat that occurred. So, I mean, it was amazing to see happen. I recommend everyone watch it. And just for that point, I've made my own personal Twitter. I've already tweeted Gamergate. This is my own personal. This does not hold on any of my co-hosts here. This is my personal work. If anyone does want to get in contact with me, I am trying to build a list of people from Gamergate who want to talk to the journalists. And wish to start a weekly show or weekly video series of what was going on, because from what, again, Sargon of Akkad has said, that it would probably be good for people to see what's going on within Gamergate.
So they're putting together a weekly thing, or you're trying to put together
I was trying to put together a weekly thing.
All right. So if you want to be a part of a weekly Gamergate discussion and update, check out Wade's Twitter. It should be at AAONZWall.
599, yep.
599. So check that out and join the conversation. What else is going on?
The grand tournament for Hearthstone was announced.
Okay.
Release date, sorry.
What's involved with that?
132 new cards, and this week's Tavern Brawl will be showcasing them. At least some of the new cards, anyway. So I will be recording that, and I definitely look forward to something that will shake up the, the intricacies, it's meta, because I don't know if you know what that means, but the standards, the trending decks within the game.
Okay.
Which hopefully will be broken up with these new, introduced new cards, because everyone you come into, you can be, oh, well, that's a mech mage, or that's a grim patron warrior. You can easily guess what you're facing just by the class.
Okay. So it's becoming readable and easier to combat because you have kind of an idea of where they're coming from because people are following these trends.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I will be starting my Hearthstone Daily series again when this comes out because, I like punishment, so.
Well, there you
go. Yelling at the screen, yeah.
And if you'd like to see punishment and yelling at the screen, I'm sure Wade will video that and put that up on YouTube.
Yeah, I just said I was going to restart the Hearthstone Daily.
Yeah, so check that out. If you're into Hearthstone and you're into people being frustrated at their stuff,
yeah,
it's fine. For me, in the news, been a little quiet on my end. Not that nothing's going on, just that I've been a little bit out of touch. Elon Musk has come out on Tesla and said that he thinks the future of Tesla is going to look a lot more like Uber in terms of, I know they're working on the autonomous vehicles, and it sounds like they're going to try to set up an autonomous fleet to work kind of like Uber does.
I called it.
Request your rides, it picks you up, takes you where you want to go, and then moves on to the next patron.
I called it. It's just going to have a voice like Betamax.
That could be awesome. Since Tesla's an American car, I doubt it will have a British accent, so although it could. But so that could be interesting there. But obviously the autonomous stuff has to, totally get fleshed out. Obviously, there's a lot of issues with that.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Obviously, they're testing it now. So hopefully, some quirks get worked with it and some regulations are set up to better manage it. Because there's so many cars in the road and it could be very chaotic.
I want to see where it was like, what was that movie with Will Smith? It was in the future.
iRobot.
Right.
That was one of my favorite depictions of the future.
There we go, where the car, he pulls up to the parking lot. The car does because he's no longer driving it.
Yes.
And it like goes into this garage?
Like it slides laterally into a parking slot.
Yeah, it looks like a turbine, but for like cars.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
But again, it was his own car, whereas it was a an Uber, pickup service, then the car would drop you off, you'd move on to the next ride, and you'd be done. Maybe they'll offer a membership type thing. Maybe it's a, pay per use. Who knows?
Now, the way
this is long term.
The way I could see them doing it is take this method and have like, okay, so you open the app just like Uber does anyway. But if you need a certain kind of car, or you could rent a car per day. Kind of like a freemium kind of thing. Like if you're going to groceries and you need a truck or an SUV.
Sure.
That you'd have to
different
pay.
Packages and usages and whatnot.
Exactly.
That's very interesting. It's definitely a possibility.
So
anything's possible with it as long as regulations don't squash it to the ground.
Yeah, well, it's like drones, it's a science, and you have to get all the kinks out first. And get everything all sorted out.
Yep. So we are curious to see what comes of it. You have anything else on your front?
No, I'm pretty good.
All right. Well, once again, a short episode because we are a man down. So check back with us next week. Do hit us up on Twitter at Abundance Knot and now at AAONCWAL, CWAL 599. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.knot. And we look forward to talking to you there. And hey, little shout out though. We're at 200 some odd followers on Twitter. When we get to 500, we will be doing a giveaway. So share us with your friends and retweet and whatnot. And you could be in for potential winnings.
People,
so,
this is news to me. I don't even know what the heck.
That's right. So stay tuned for more info. The quicker we get 500, the quicker we start giving stuff away. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.
Keep on gaming.
And that's a wrap.